Damage! Welcome everybody to Damage Radio, heard here live on MockerRadio.com, where music reminds me. Y'all already know me, I'm RC. I guess this man has been a fixture on the West Coast wrestling scene. He debuted in 2011, Ring of Honor superstar, the Med Maniac. Sledge, thanks so much for your time, bro.
Hey, what's up, Matt? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
Can't complain, man. I'm trying to get over this little bit of a flu thing that I got going on. But other than that, I'm okay. It's not COVID, good, guys. It's not COVID. I just got a little bit of a head cold.
Okay? People go up in arms. People will be
like, he's got COVID. Oh, crap. It's like, no, I just a little bit of a head cold. No big deal. So,
nice. So tell the Damage fans a little bit about yourself.
I'm a 6'4", 240-pound human being who likes to punch people in the face. That's nice, kind of the bottom line, man. It's like I get paid to kick people and punch people in the face. It's a lot of fun.
So were you athletic growing up? Did you play sports? Or
yeah, man. I played football when I was a kid and wrestled as a kid and track as a kid. So, yeah, man, I was pretty active.
When you were doing wrestling and football, did you notice some things that you did in football that went with the wrestling aspect?
Wrestling conditioning is totally different from like football conditioning. I only played football to get ready for wrestling season. And even going into wrestling season, like I wasn't even in the right condition. So it was like, it's just two different conditioning, you know, but yeah, it's helped me tremendously in my professional wrestling career, being a amateur wrestler going into professional wrestling.
Nice, man. So let's talk about a little bit before the wrestling. A saying called, without struggle, there's no progress. Talk a little bit about when you were dealing with your demons and what helped you get out of that dark place at the time.
I still deal with my demons to this day, man. Like, they don't go away. You know, one day I'll be just like this, talking and hanging out. And some days I just want to, you know, crawl into a ball and be, you know, just alone. But, you know, I make it, you know, I make attempt to say that there's 24 hours in a day. And what are you going to do with those 24 hours? And I could always, you know, stay in a ball, or I can go and try to be productive in the world. And that's what I do every single day, is just go out and be productive in the world. And to get out of my demons and, you know, to get out of my, you know, my alcoholic, you know, tendencies and my drug addict tendencies that I have, because I'm a recovering addict. I had hit rock bottom before I could start building myself back up, and I hit rock bottom. And thankfully, you know, my best friend, JD Horror, you know, who's a former wrestler, saved my life. He really did, man. He helped me realize that I was gonna die, and he helped me out tremendously.
So, and plus with the whole COVID thing going on too, that plays a toll on everything, I bet.
It does, man, because I signed my deal right when COVID happened. You know, my first deal, you know, when COVID happened. Like COVID, I signed my deal March of 2020. Crap, I don't remember.
It's all blurs, man. Now.
It all blurs together, man. I signed my deal, and then all of a sudden, like COVID-19 happened and like shut the world down. And I always make a joke. It was like, oh, Sledge got a contract. It means the world crashed. All right, you know. So I always make a joke like that. But I'm very happy with Ring of Honor. It was released today that I just re-signed my deal with them. I'm very happy. They've taken so much good care of all the talent and the staff during this whole pandemic. And honestly, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Nice, man. And yeah, with, like you were saying, the depression and everything and what you're going through, man, I know for me personally, you know, having a family, all that pressure, a job, it pays a toll on you. And you really got to keep your mind in the right spot, because there's a lot of pressure on you. And I know that from my father myself, you know, so it's hard to, you know, stay positive, stay on the right track and keep moving forward.
It's definitely, man. Trying to be, you know, this character and then separate my personal life. It definitely blurred the lines for a little bit, but I'm definitely getting better at doing that, of separating, you know, Sledge with my personal life.
Right. Now, you played in a metal band. Talk a bit about that experience, man. And how does the rock and metal world go in with wrestling, like rock and wrestling?
Well, rock and wrestling go hand in hand, man. Look at most of entrance musics are like heavy metal or rock and roll, you know? Yeah. My new entrance theme that's going to be debuting when I debut on Week by Week, this coming Tuesday on the YouTube Week by Week show, is done by like one of my good friends' bands called Death in Motion. You know, I played in a metal band. That's how I knew my buddy West, who plays in the band. They have a very like kill switch engaged sound. It's really awesome. And then we're going to be releasing the song on iTunes and whatnot. So down the, I think next week, like the same week.
That dropped, two things I going think, on in one yeah, week. Man.
Oh, dude, this week has been absolutely insane with the video dropping of me making my debut, with them announcing my re-signing. It's just been go, go, go. People are like, oh, I want you on my podcast. Let's do this, yada, yada. And it all, as you know, has to go through a certain somebody to get to me. So what was the question? I'm sorry. I go on tangents sometimes.
No, that's cool, man. So, like, you're rocking wrestling, dude. Yeah. Around forever. And you got the metal band going, man. It's like you're getting a little bit of each little thing, getting your hands and everything.
Yeah, yeah. I played in a metal band before I actually started professional wrestling. I've always played drums as a kid, and being my sister got me into, you know, metal music, man. I used to actually listen to rap, like a lot of rap. I still do like to like a, you know, the West Coast stuff, you know, like Tupac. Like
we're talking 90s rap?
Yeah, we're talking like 80s, 90s rap, you know, like okay. NWA. Yes,
Meyer.
You know, NWA, Tupac, you know, Ice Cube, you know, Eazy-E, you know, all those. And it's fun, you know, Snoop Dogg. You know, and then I was walking by my sister's room, and she's bumping Anthrax one day, and I'm like, "What is this music, man?" I go inside, she's freaking just slamming and going nuts, and I'm like, "I gotta get into this, man." So I start stealing her CDs. You know, growing kids listening to those. Those are the things we used to listen to. You know, back in the day before there was iPods and your phones.
Yep. Let's go old school. How about cassettes, man?
Cassette tapes, yes. Yeah. I used to steal their CDs, man. Next thing you know, I'm listening to like Metallica, Anthrax, Motley Crue, Skid Row. And I started kind of diving deeper into like the metal. Then you get like the Slayer and then like the new school stuff of like Killswitch and Hatebreed and, you know, you name it, man. Like I'm totally into it. If I'm having that day where I need that pick me up in the gym, man, I'll just put on Hatebreed and it's like, it's go time, you know? So.
Yep. Talk about playing your first show, man. What was the adrenaline like?
When did we play our first show? So I played in, before I played in the metal band, I played in like this, we call it butt rock, kind of like the 80s, like hair metal style. Like, nice. Like, yeah. So like, I'm a big fan of like Tommy Lee. So when I'm playing, I'm like a very theatrical, just kind of like professional wrestling, very theatrical. Yeah. Right. What did we play? Where did we play? I think we played at a club called the Z Club. Was our first gig. It was sold out. Because obviously friends and family and everybody want to come see. And it was great. It was fun. It was a great time. I think we had a fog machine that like shorted out like the audio, like shorted out like the That's breaker. Crazy. Yeah. It was just like, what could happen? Like, I think our guitar player blew a tube, you know, like what could happen? You know, yeah. But it still was like a lot of fun. So
nice. And you got a second gig, so that's all that counts, right?
Yeah, we were gigging for a while, and then I left that band to go play in this band called Motive. They noticed that I was having a little bit of an alcohol problem, so they kind of let me go. And the other band picked me up and noticed that I was pretty decent at chops, and they were a little bit more metal, you know, more of the double bass, kind of more of the style that I really love. And we had a small deal with the Jägermeister, man, and we were touring all over the place, and obviously that just created more problems with alcohol. So
yeah. Was it hard for you to stay alcohol free being in that kind of environment or no?
Staying alcohol free. I wasn't alcohol free in that environment.
At that time?
No,
at that
time? No, I was heavy. I was heavy into alcohol. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about a little bit about professional wrestling. How'd you get introduced to professional wrestling? Was it like a certain match or promo that got you hooked?
My dad, before he passed, was a huge professional wrestling fan. And it was SummerSlam 91, Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect, you know, Intercontinental Championship match.
Oh, yeah.
We're watching that, man, and I was hooked. I was a big Bret Hart fan. Hooked. You know, when he goes in sharpshooter, boom, he taps and then goes and rips him out of his singlet. And, you know, it was just like, this is it. And then you see like guys like Legion of Doom and like Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan. And then you start going into the Attitude Era with like Stone Cold and Triple H and, you know, my mentor Gangrel. You know, I still can't believe I call him Uncle Grelly, you know. It's crazy, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's just that's what got me into professional wrestling with my dad.
And you got to think, Mr. Perfect, he sold the crap out of everybody, man. He would jump over that top rope and really put over any other guy he was facing at the time.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Perfect and, like, Ravishing Rick Rude were, yeah, like, some of the best sellers. You know, Rick Rude was great. Have you ever seen Rick Rude take an atomic drop? I mean, that guy would sell it, yeah, you know, like nobody's business. And that was just one of the best things about watching those older style matches. And I preach all the time that people should watch a lot of the older stuff. A lot of the newer stuff is great, but a lot of older stuff, man, really learning how to sell is amazing. So,
right. And back then when we had WWF superstars, it really put the guy like he was like a superhero, because the enhancement talent really did their job to make the other guy look like they're larger than life. And that was the best part about it when I was growing up.
I don't think they had a choice to do it.
Honestly, yeah, right. Man. But, you know, at least some of those enhancement Dwayne talent. Gill,
yeah,
Dwayne Gill, Bad Boy Barry Hardy, yeah, Barry Horowitz, you know, all those guys, they did their job right, you know?
Right. And then Dwayne Gill, you know, became, you know, Gilbert, you know, and, you know, you had, are you in Maryland?
No, I'm down in Philly.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. You are in Philly. That's right. Yeah. So yeah, Dwayne Gill, I know, lives in Maryland, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So yeah.
Baltimore. Yep. Yeah.
Yep, Baltimore. Yeah. Yep. And hopefully he's doing better. I heard his health.
Yeah, he is. Kind of he is. Yep. Good. And, you know, it's in your blood, dude. He was on Raw, what, like 2 weeks after he's feeling better?
That's right. Yeah. I did see something on the interwebs about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Bret Hart, man, huge fan you were. The Montreal Screwjob, man. Where were you and what were you feeling at the time, man? How mad were you?
Where was I? I don't even remember where I was. I was a kid. I mean, what was that, 95? Yep.
About that time, yeah.
Shit, I think I nailed it on the head.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I was, but at the time I was pretty upset, but you know, I didn't know whether it was a work or a shoot, or, I mean, I don't think anybody knows to this day if it was a work or a shoot. I mean, they've came out and said, yeah, it was kind of a shoot, but a lot of people are like, hey, it was a work, you know, who knows, you know? I got to meet Bret though, which was cool. And he was a very, very nice guy. Super nice, super humble human being. It was great. He's like, oh man, you're big. Come here, you know, it was great. He works with a promoter out here in California. The promoter manages him, actually, and I worked for that promoter before I signed with Ring of Honor. He actually helped me a lot to get when I did like Impact, and he helped me a lot get me with the bigger stars to kind of help get my name out there even more. So, Kurt White, hats off to you, buddy.
Now, how was it being in the ring with guys that you looked up to, and was it what you expected it to be, or was it better or worse?
Depends on who I was in the ring with.
Do you have any stories?
None to like bury anybody.
Of course not. No. Yeah.
No, but I really enjoyed being in there with like Kazarian. Kazarian was great. I got to tag with him, which was fantastic. Working with the Ballard brothers, they taught me how to tag wrestle, man. Ballard brothers are fantastic. They actually trained John Cena, yep. You know, working with Gangrel has always been great. You know, that was very starstruck moment for me being in there with him. Because I've just been a huge fan of his since I was a kid, a huge Brood fan. So every time being in the ring with him, or still talking to him to this day, I still kind of mark out to him in it. Eli Drake was fantastic. I'm trying to think of like all the names I've been in there with. I've been in the ring with so many like bigger names. Drake Younger was fantastic. Who's Drake Wartz on WWE. He's one of the referees for WWE. Yep. He was fantastic to work with. Actually a Philly guy. Drake Young is a Philly guy. Yep. CZW.
I loved it, dude. Yep.
Yeah, man. Just those guys, man. I'm trying to think of like all the bigger, Chase Owens, fantastic guy to be in the ring with. Chris Masters, Masters has always been one of those guys to like help me out as much as he possibly could. And he's sends me a text to this day, telling me how like proud he is of me, of like everything I've accomplished and, you know, overcame. So.
Yeah. What's one thing you wish you knew back when you first started in professional wrestling that you know now?
Don't be an asshole.
Well, yeah.
Okay. You know, don't be, you know, not everyone's going to like you in the business. And that's still something hard for me to this day, because when I broke in, I had just that chip on my shoulder. I mean, I'm 6'4", 200 something pounds, and I was getting looked at by WWE within a couple months. you know, and on top of that, I was drinking, partying, and enjoying the drinking and the party and all the after parties, you know. I felt like I was untouchable for a while, you know. Don't take what you have, you know, for granted, you know. Keep your head on straight. Don't worry about the parties. Don't worry about all that stuff. Just keep your head on straight. You know, stay focused, you know. Get a plan and execute that plan.
So you said your dad introduced you to professional wrestling, but what inspired you to pursue it?
Always being a fan. And the door opened once to go to the APW garage. And the girl I was dating at the time laughed at me and told me, hey, you need to get a real job. Okay. And then the door opened again and I went through the door. So that's kind of, and I always do a prayer before I a little prayer before I walk out. It kind of sets me into that sledge mode, you know, and it's always to thank my dad and hopefully he's proud of me and watching me and to make sure that I'm safe and my opponent's safe and make sure we go in there and we tear the house down. So,
right. So why sledge? Why the name sledge?
Cause it called me the hammer while I was playing the drums. That was the hammer because I would hit the drum so hard. And I was just like, no one had the name. No one had it. Yeah. And I was shocked that no one had it. And I just became, I mean, a couple indie, like I think one more indie guy had it, but it wasn't anything to like the extreme as like, I guess me.
Right.
And it turned hammer into sledge. And I knew that I needed a moniker and I love metal music. And I messed around with a bunch of them, man. Like, what was one of them? Like the punk rock powerhouse. And that one was already taken. What else? I was like, man, just sledge is just so by itself. It needs something. It needs a brand. It needs something that identifies him to the minute that they go, oh, the metalhead maniac. Okay. He loves metal. And he's a maniac and his name's sledge. Okay. He must hit hard. You know, something that just makes it work, and the Metalhead Maniac was born.
See, when I heard Sledge before I even met you, I was thinking like Van Hammer from the WCW, like that kind of like style,
mm-hmm.
right away.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
You can go.
Mike Awesome is awesome.
Yeah,
he is awesome. I loved Mike Awesome. So he was a big. I mean, the guy, big, huge, flies. I mean, he was doing stuff his size that no one else was doing. You know, which was amazing. So
where did you start your training at? And talk about that first bump, man. How did it feel?
I came from like a wrestling background, like a martial arts background. So the first bump didn't really like affect me too much. I kind of already knew how to bump.
Okay.
But I got trained. That's kind of a loaded question. I got trained at a place called Vendetta Pro Wrestling out in Santa Maria, California. But they pretty much just taught me kind of the basics. And I only trained for about 2 months and then I started doing matches.
Wow.
And just kind of learning on the fly and watching film and learning because you can only do so much. Like you can train and go and learn how to take bumps and rolls and learn the basics of a headlock, you know, but when you're in there and you have to call an audible and you don't know how to call an audible, then you're in some trouble.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, I got a lot of on job training. I had a lot of good mentors that watched my matches, that I asked to watch my matches and said, hey, man, you need that gear change. You need that gear change. Oh, I hear that a lot. Like, you need that gear change that you're kind of stagnant. So you need that gear change, that go, 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 you know, and then going to like the Ring of Honor dojo, you know, Will Ferrara and Jonathan Gresham taught me how to make that gear change. So that was really,
So each school, you taught a little bit, you learned a little bit, and you took it to the next place.
Oh, yeah. Vendetta Pro Wrestling and then being on the indies to going to the New Japan camp with Shibata-san to going to the Ring of Honor dojo. Even going to England when I trained. I did a little training in England when I was over there on tour with the Welsh Wizard Jason Cross and the Knight family, Dynasty. I don't know if you know about the Knight family, but fighting with my family, Paige.
Yes.
Paige's family. Very close with that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm very close with that family. I was over there for a month, and I went over there and trained with them, and they're fantastic. So I got a little bit of knowledge everywhere.
That's good, man. And that's how you appreciate it more, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, take us back to your first match, man. Who was it against? Who won? Talk about that feeling going through the curtain.
Oh, man. My first match in front of 15 people. in the school. No bathrooms.
Oh, geez.
The side of the ring was the locker room, so there's nowhere really to sit or change. I was 270 pounds out of shape, give or take. Not very, didn't look the best, I'll tell you that much. Don't look like what I look now. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. All 15 people were off. Oh, maybe it was 20. I'm sorry. I don't want to cut five people off. Maybe it was 20.
Seriously, man. Yep.
They all came to see me because I was, because the school was in Lompoc where I grew up. Nice. So they all came to see me. They knew I was making my debut. And I want to say it was like a few days before my birthday, if I'm not mistaken. So we all went out afterwards and partied, but it wasn't a bad, I wanted to say the guy's name was Tenchismo. Great name, right?
Yeah, seriously.
It's on YouTube.
I hope you won that one. If it's
I did. I used to use the pump handle slam, and I beat him with the pump handle slam.
Remember how long it was?
10 minutes. Okay. Maybe seven.
I'm bad for the first match, man.
Yeah, they gave us a little bit of time. It was a school match, so they gave me some time. So
what was the best piece of advice that you've received so far in being in the business?
Two, actually. Don't dwell on it because you can't go back and change it. Learn from it, move on. And you can't, the only thing you can control is your look and your attitude. Other than that, you can't control anything else.
That's true, man. Because like once you do it, you can't go back. So you got to learn from it and move forward. That's how you get better.
Yeah, I did a spot with Gangrel. Gangrel is one who taught me that spot. I did a spot with Gangrel and I messed the spot up really bad. And to the point of, like, I thought he was going to kick my ass.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He was pissed. And I walked to the back, and I'm like, I grabbed my shit, and I got out of there because I thought he was going to kick my ass. And I saw him at the bar afterwards at the after party. And he comes up to me. He goes, why'd you get out of there so quick? And I was like, I thought you were going to kick my ass, sir, honestly. And he's like, nah. He goes, look, he goes, you're dwelling on it right now. I can see it. I'm like, yeah, man, I messed up. I'm sorry. And he's like, nah, man. He goes, learn from it. He goes, you can't go back and change it. You can't hit the rewind button. You can't hit pause. You can't do anything. Learn from it and move on. Now go have fun. And he gave me a hug. And I was like, all right, we're okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Mike Bennett is the other one who told me that.
Okay.
He says, one of the best advice I got at WWE when I was there. Well, you can control your look and you can control your attitude. Other than that, you can't control anything else. So do that. Control your look, control your attitude. Everything else will fall into place.
Wrestling has taken you so many places. Did you have a travel buddy usually that you like to ride with? Or were you just by yourself usually? Or did you just kind of meet people as you went and kind of got the vibe from everybody?
I traveled a lot. Like back when I was getting back into the indies after I got sober, I traveled with a guy named Buddy Royal a lot, who was young, up-and-coming cat who just wanted to go. He's just like, I want to get in the car and go. Cool, let's go. He got signed to New Japan through the New Japan camp, but then something happened. I'm not quite sure, but he's no longer with the New Japan system. Who else did I travel? I traveled a lot with Alexander G. Bernard. Zicky Dice I traveled a lot with. But other than that, most of the time when I was traveling by myself. A lot of times, especially when I was flying places, it was by myself because obviously I was the only one booked. So, yeah. But like after the Steve Austin podcast, man, like my career went through the roof, and then now I'm in Ring of Honor. So.
That's a perfect segue right into the Stone Cold podcast. Talk about being on that, man, and how was that thrill being with Stone Cold, talking to him?
Surreal. It was very surreal. And what's so cool about Steve is like I still talk to Steve to this day, and it was like 2 years ago. Wow. And I was in the right place at the right time to get on that podcast. I was traveling with a buddy, AJ Kirsch. We were going through a show in Arizona. He's like, hey, man, I got to make a stop. I might have to drop you off at like a Starbucks or something like that because I got to do something. And Steve said I could come along. me and Steve started rapping, and he's like, yo, dude, sounds like you got a story. Do you want a podcast? I said, hell yeah. And the rest is history, man. I was very nervous on that podcast when I did that podcast. You could hear it in my voice, like how trembling I was talking to him and how genuine and sincere that guy is. He literally would give the shirt off his back for you if he knew it would help you.
Now, do you feel like you were in awe, or were you just overthinking during that interview?
Probably overthinking, probably watching my words, because that was my first like major platform to ever like really talk about my demons and my alcoholic, me being an alcoholic and me being an addict and dealing with that. So that was my first major platform to talk something about that one. So I was really trying to watch my words so I didn't offend anybody. On top of that is I didn't want to make myself sound like an asshole. So that was kind of my best way. And that and him sitting in front of me was very nerve-wracking. So
I can imagine everything that he's done in the business. And as awesome that he's given back and gives young up-and-coming talent a chance to tell their story.
Yeah, and he didn't do it to everybody. That was the thing, is I was just like I said, right place at the right time. He didn't have to. He didn't have to podcast me. He could have just said, all right, kids, see, you know, thank you, AJ, because AJ was there to do the podcast, not me. I was just there tagging along. And AJ did the vocal work in 2K18 and did the career mode. Like, that was AJ in there. So he was there to talk about that. And while they were setting things up, he was setting up a third mic for me. And I'm like, I'm not going to talk on AJ's thing. Like, this is about AJ, not me, you know? And he did shoot some questions to me, and I answered them. But then he says, hey, we're going to get into that. And, you know, we'll get into that at a later time on a different podcast. I'm looking at him like, what? And then when he got done, he's like, hey, you want a podcast? And I was like, yeah, I do. So
like, no, oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, right. I'm nah, Steve, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good,
you know?
Bro.
Yeah, do you, by the way, do you have my PO? Because I'll let you know my rate, brother, you know? Like, come on. Yeah.
Contact the PR.
Yeah, contact my PR guy. He'll be all right. No, Steve's great. And if he asked me to do the podcast again, I totally would 100%. I think it would be a lot better this time because I have a lot more to tell. On top of that, I'd be a little bit more comfortable, right, especially knowing Steve like I do him now.
And that's the hardest part. You don't know who you're talking to, and when you're meeting them for the first time and vibing with them, you don't know what's okay to say and what's not okay to say. That's the hardest part.
Right. And a guy like Steve has been in the business for so long. I mean, Stunning Steve Austin is when he broke in, you know, and he carries the conversation so well. And that's so what's so good about him is he can just carry it just so well. And finally, you could tell towards probably the middle of the interview is I got more comfortable, started more relaxing. And then it just kind of flowed from there. I haven't listened to it back in a while, so it's on my YouTube channel.
Nice. Is it hard for you to listen back to your podcast that you do, or watch your matches? Is it hard for you to do that, or do you like to watch your matches and get better?
Okay. I like to watch them and get better and realize what I did wrong, or if I did anything wrong, I would go, oh, I should have done this, or I should have done that, or I critique my. I'm my worst critic. I'm my worst. You know, the internet can shit on me all they want. I shit on myself worse, you know. It's just the way it is. And listening to myself back on podcasts and stuff like that, it doesn't bother me. I like to listen to them back so I can listen to the way that I word things and make sure I'm not repeating myself and make sure I'm not using multiple likes, uggs, like ums. I did a podcast one time and I think I counted myself saying 300, you know, 100%. So I do like to listen to them back so I can listen to how I verbalize things so I just get better. And doing my Twitch show has helped me tremendously to learn how to talk better as well.
All right. Well, speaking of that, talk about your podcast, man. When did you get started into that? And has that gotten you better with your talking skills and all?
I think it has. You know, I almost said 100%.
Nice.
No, doing Twitch, Coffee with Sledge on Twitch, I now – do a number amount of things on Twitch. I play video games. I'll just sit there and talk like Joe Rogan, you know, with my community. It's just something I do, twitch.tv/sledge805, something that happened out of a pandemic. I needed something to do. I was at home. No one was going anywhere. So people needed entertainment. I was doing it on my Instagram Live, and a buddy of mine, Zicky Dice, who has an amazing, amazing show on Twitch on Wednesdays. I was actually just on it yesterday. Asked me, you know, hey, man, why don't you do it on Twitch, bro? Do it on Twitch. And I invested a bunch of money to get my Twitch thing started. And now I've invested more money and investing more money. And it's just something that has gradually built. And this month is my highest grossing, the highest grossing Twitch stream that I've had in a month. So it's fantastic. It's been great. So
is there like tiers, or like, what's the subscription look like?
You can subscribe. I think a subscription is like $3.99 a month. It's nothing big. Or you could just follow it. You just hit that follow button, and then people will gift you a sub sometimes. And if somebody gifts 5 subs in a row, I'll send them a free 8x10. And I give stuff away. Like, I just gave away a $100 Amazon gift card. You know, February, if I hit the sub goal, I'm going to give a $100 Best Buy gift card away. I just give people incentive to like come to my channel and just hang out. You never know.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's fun. My community is fantastic. I have people that mod my chat, so I don't really have to. If people say stuff that's inappropriate, they'll block them real quick, you know, so they don't have to, or delete it. And it's great. You know, the community I've created, thankfully to Marty the Moth, former Lucha Underground champion, and Radcore, and a lot of other guys together, have helped me tremendously to make my Twitch into a ongoing growth that it is. That makes sense? Yes. Okay.
Yeah. We'll flow with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. But yes, it has helped me tremendously to learn how to talk better.
That's awesome. So what video games do you enjoy playing?
Counter-Strike, Warframe. We just got done playing Mean Greens before I jumped on with you. What else am I playing? Among Us. I do that with my community, play Among Us. I've gotten Jay Lethal into Twitch, which is awesome, because Jay Lethal now is the Lethal Jay on Twitch.
Nice.
It's fun to hang out with him. What else kind of games? Apex Legends. What else am I playing? We're playing Battlefield 2, the Star Wars game, Battlefield. We play that.
Right.
You name the game, man. We're usually kind of tiptoeing in it. And, you know, Tekken, and just got to get a capture card.
Do you ever go old school, like Castlevania and like Mega Man, stuff like that at all? Or?
I don't on my stream. Okay. I know Rocky Mountain Pro does. Mercury Yaden does that stuff on his stream, but I don't. I have to get a capture card, which is next on, not next on the list. It's on the list to get, and then I'll be able to do like cooler stuff like that. So
what game would you have in mind, you think, when you do get it? Or was it like top 5 games back in the day that you love to play?
Oh, top 5 games back in the day I used to love to play. I'm a big Counter-Strike guy. That's why I still play to this day. I used to love playing Counter-Strike, Team Fortress Classic, all that fun stuff. Quake 3 Arena, Unreal Tournament, you know, all those old PC games. If I could still continue playing those today,
Doom.
Yeah, the new Doom on Xbox. I play. I would love to stream that. Call of Duty, I play that every once in a great while. I have Call of Duty 3, I think, sitting over there on my Xbox. But is it 3? No, it's 4. No, it's not the new one.
Right.
Warframe. It's not that, guys. That one takes up too much memory, I heard. I hear Warframe takes up just ridiculous amount of memory, and I'm just not into it.
It takes so long to get the game to start.
Do you have it?
No, I have some PlayStation 4 games, and it takes like 10 minutes to start a game when you first put it in. And sometimes like I get disinterested right away.
Yeah, it's just like, why is there so much to do?
Right.
I would love to stream NHL Hockey like 92, because the graphics are just so horrible, but it's still like a lot of fun to play.
I played it. I got Sega Genesis. I played NHL 94 with John Van Beesbrock on the front cover.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I would love to play something like that. If it was multiplayer mode where you could stream with another person and they could be playing with you, that'd be awesome. You know, I would totally be down for that.
Are you a sports guy, like fan at all? Like play games?
I do have Madden 20. I was playing Madden 20. I was playing with a buddy and got my ass handed to me. He was the Green Bay Packers. I'm an Oakland Raider. They're not Oakland anymore. They're Las Vegas. I apologize. They're the Vegas Raiders. I am a Vegas Raider fan. He played Green Bay, and he absolutely mopped the floor with me. So there's that. So that was the last time I've really played Madden too much. Yeah. So, but I'm a huge like UFC fan, huge mixed martial arts fan. I don't want to say like I'm a huge football fan, but I am a football fan. I'm looking forward to watching the Super Bowl this weekend. But this airs on Monday, right? You said on Monday. Okay. Monday morning,
10 a.m.
So congratulations, Tampa Bay, on winning the Super Bowl.
I hope so.
Yep. Well, don't we all?
Yeah.
You know,
three years ago today, the Eagles beat the New England Patriots Super Bowl. So I got to give out to my Eagles.
Yeah. Give out to the Eagles. Philly's nice, man. It's got its nice areas. I haven't done too much in Philly because every time I was in Philly, I was like, it was in and out, you know, 5100 arena.
2300
arena. I apologize. Going there for the Ring of Honor shows. That was great to get a picture in the ECW bathroom, you know, with the mural. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Bubba Ray was on that tour and I wanted to get it with Bubba Ray, but, we weren't there. So it's all good, but yeah.
And none of the porta potties are actually like closed. So like everything's all open. So it's fantastic. You know, it's Philly for you.
Yeah.
And the smell, you got to love the smell in the 2300 arena.
The smell.
Especially for CZW shows, you know?
Yeah. I was a big, who got me into CZW was my buddy JD Horror, who saved my life. He's the one who got me into CZW, and watching, the minute I saw it, I was like, it's deathmatch. Nah. But seeing Matt Tremont,
the bulldozer, Matt Tremont,
and throwing that Memphis right hand that he's got. I watched that and I went, this guy can work. And I'm watching, I'm like, dude, I'm a fan of Matt Tremont. And I got to actually meet Matt when he came out to LA for a deathmatch tournament. I was on the show as well, doing a non-deathmatch. I think it was right before I left for Ring of Honor. It was him, Schlack, Madman Pondo maybe was on the show. I don't really remember, but when Matt walked in, I that was a huge mark out moment for me. I don't really mark out for like many guys, but Matt, I was like, it's Matt Tremont. Hell yeah, it's Matt Tremont. And I was actually supposed to wrestle Matt Tremont. And his wife got sick. Yeah, so he was bedside with his wife. So he was unable to make it. So I got to wrestle Masada instead. And Masada was fantastic. And that guy is so underrated because he's just known as a deathmatch guy. The guy could wrestle, though.
Yeah.
Masada could wrestle. And he was one of those guys, after we done with the match, pulled me aside, was like, hey, you need to get out. You're really good. You need to get out of California. You need to just go and wrestle because you will get picked up somewhere. And here I am. So,
was that hard for you to get out and test yourself somewhere else? Has you been there for so long or no?
No, because I've already kind of done it like up and down California. Right. And making a name for myself again in California and people knowing who I was. But hearing something like that and getting like that, him and like Uncle Bob Evans, wrestling, you know, guys like that who pulled me aside and was like, Bob put me over in the ring, man. We wrestled and he jumped on the mic. And he's like, I didn't realize how good you were, man. You are fantastic. And this is not me tuning my own horn or like, you know, putting myself over or anything like that. But that's what Bob said. And he actually brought me to tears, man. He's like, I'm going to be driving by the Ring of Honor office, man. I'm going to be telling him about you, you know, and I see great things from you. And when they announced my resign this morning, Bob texted me and told me, you know, congratulations, kid. I knew it the minute I locked up with you were going to be something special. So that made me feel really, really good.
That's awesome, man. Now, do you have a favorite seminar that you've been to?
Favorite seminar? Billy Gunn and Chase Owens. Yeah, those are the two. Billy Gunn, Chase Owens. Chavo Guerrero's seminar was great. Gangrel's seminar was great. Did I do one with Bob Evans? I don't think I did one with Bob Evans. I think we just talked a bunch. I'm trying to remember. But yeah, those are probably the main ones. But Billy Gunn's seminar was actually the one who gave me the idea to do this to get my job at Ring of Honor. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
That's awesome, man. Do you have any favorite matches thus far in your career?
So, anyone with Eli Drake that I wrestled was fire. I wrestled Simbodi multiple times. Simbodi was a great mentor of mine too, actually. Simbodi Kazarni. He's still a good mentor to mine to me to this day. I wrestled to it. I was like him and like Funny Bone. I don't know if you're familiar with Funny Bone or not, but we were three of us were like married. We wrestled in Mexico together. We wrestled all up and down California. We're wrestling in a cage. We're wrestling in dog collar matches. We're wrestling all over the place, man, for a good year straight. So that was one of my favorites. One of my favorites was with Sin and Funny Bone. That dog collar match was just so three-way dog collar match was so it worked out somehow. What else kind of matches have I done? I've wrestled so many matches. It's so hard to pinpoint. That was my favorite. You know,
yeah.
Chase Owens was great too. I loved wrestling Chase. I would love to do that one again on a bigger stage. I really would. The guy's amazing.
Now, how would Sledge describe his wrestling style?
Hard hitting, smash mouth, not afraid to take risks. And no one really believes this or not, but technical.
And is it hard to change your style when you go against a different opponent? Or do you kind of adapt to it?
You have to adapt. You have to. You adapt or die. That's it. You have to adapt.
Now, let's finally get to the most important thing of the day. Talk about how the Ring of Honor opportunity came to be.
I showed up at a show. I took a shot.
Really?
Yep. I showed up at a show. Yeah. And that's crazy because people don't believe that. You know, Ring of Honor didn't come to me. I came to Ring of Honor, which is interesting to say. They were throwing a show in Las Vegas. And something was telling me that I had to block out that weekend to go. So I went, I busted my ass, got eyes on me, gave them, which from Billy Gunn's seminar, make sure you always have an 8x10 with your resume on the back so you can give it to them, to whoever. I gave my resume to the office with my 8x10. I didn't hear anything. And then I got a text asking me if I wanted to come to Madison Square Garden, if I was going to be in New York for WrestleCon and all that, the WrestleMania weekend. That was when they were doing the G1. And I said, yeah, I'm going to be there. Do you want to come to the G1 as a guest? Absolutely. They invited me to the G1. Then they pulled me in the office at the G1 and offered me a tryout. After the tryout, they offered me a dojo spot. And after the dojo spot, I was signed 6 months later.
6 months, and you're also voted favorite Future of Honor star in 2020.
Yeah, I was. That's very awesome. I appreciate everybody who voted. I know some guys are not too happy about that, but you know it is what it is. So
that's why you're here and they're there.
I didn't want to say it. You did.
Hey, I'll say it for you, man. I got your back, bro.
All right, cool.
I got your back.
You said it, not me, bud.
Right. So you signed that contract, man. Like you said. Corona mania hits, man. What's going in your mind? Did that cut you in half, or did you keep the adrenaline going and know that, you know, I'm going to keep working out and keep on my A game?
It took me a time to reset because I moved from California to Baltimore, but I still had my place in California because they told me to be a part of the Ring of Honor Dojo, you have to relocate to Baltimore, Maryland. So I drove clear across the United States for an opportunity. I was not signed at the time. They offered me an opportunity, and I said, I have to take this opportunity. So I did. It gave me time because I got really depressed while I was over there because I left everything behind. So I depress eat. I love to eat. Like, I'm a foodie. I'm a fat kid at heart. So I was still in good physical shape, but I gained some extra weight that I really didn't want. So coming home, I got to reset mentally, physically, and emotionally. And that was what I needed mentally was to reset. And I took COVID-19 as a boop. Let's reset that. Let's reset the engine. Let's kind of shut it off for a minute and get back to the basics. Let's get back to work. And I dropped 40, 50 pounds, you know, during COVID, probably in the best shape I've been in a while. And just wondering if I was going to get the call to come and wrestle. You know, I signed my deal and then COVID hit. No one knew what was going to happen. So
Tuesday, February 9th.
Yeah.
Shea Edwards.
Yeah. The big kite.
What did the fans, what should they expect? Their first scene for the first time.
Hard hitting, smash mouth professional wrestling. I'm not backing down and he's not backing down. This is an opportunity for both of us. And he was ready and I'm ready. And on Tuesday, you guys are going to see some fireworks, guaranteed.
Now, CM Punk, I heard it was one of his theme musics you like a lot. Is that correct?
I don't know where you heard that. Cult of Personality? Killswitch. His Killswitch one? Yeah, yes. I do like it. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of Killswitch Engage.
Right. So your theme music for Ring of Honor, can you tell us what that song is going to be in?
It's done by my buddy West, by Death in Motion. It's called 2 seconds, and I'll tell you. It's called Short Term of Pain, and it will be released on iTunes next week, right after the match.
I don't know, man.
Yep, so and it has that Kill Switch Engage sound.
To get you started before you start that match.
Yep.
Which you need that adrenaline boost.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. It's a great song. Fantastic song.
I know, mate. So, dream match. If you could pick a triple threat match, what would the stipulation be and who would it be against?
Well, the triple threat match, there's really no stipulation, is there? Because there's no disqualification. No count out, no disqualification. It's triple threat. Probably Matt Taven, Joe Hendry.
Okay. Matt Taven, Joe Hendry. Right now, pretend I'm me, Gene Oakland. Can you cut a promo on the spot on them?
No, I can't.
Oh, come on.
I wouldn't want to. No, that's what some like promos and stuff like that. When they're like, "Hey, you got a promo?" Like, I have to really, like, kind of get in the. I Sledge is kind of turned off right now. Gotcha. I'm kind of in, you know, my personal mode, so I haven't really. I'm not gonna sit there and go, "You listen to your brother." I have to turn Sledge on right now. I'm kind of in personal mode. So,
got it, man. Well, Sledge, I really appreciate your time, man. And next time you're in Philly, authentic cheesesteak on me, man.
I've never had one.
I got your back, dude.
I've never freaking had, every time I'm in Philly, I'd never get a freaking cheesesteak because I'm so damn busy. So I'm going to hold you to that.
All right.
I want an authentic, and I want to go to the Rocky statue.
Okay. I got you, man.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that, Richard. Damn it.
Right. Now, for the Damage fans out there, if they want to follow your journey, where can they go on social media?
I keep it very easy for everybody. At Sledge805, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I'm TikTok famous. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know now.
Yeah, I'm TikTok famous. And on Twitch, at Sledge805. I keep it easy for everybody.
Well, Sledge, I really appreciate your time, man. And remember, don't keep it nice and neat. Keep it completely damaged on MonkaRadio.com where music and minds meet.
Yeah. Completely damaged.